Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 6. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I've been coming seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up or waste up the ground?" But he answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading of the word. You may be seated. I found a picture of this guy on that line, and I thought you might want to see that. That seems to be him wanting his fig tree to grow. What's that? Yeah. That's all right. Well, I wasn't going to say anything, but no. No. The story goes that he bought this fig tree and had it planted in his vineyard, and he wants figs. Makes sense. That's why he would plant a fig tree. And the funny thing about this parable is last summer I planted a fig tree. And so I'm learning from this parable how to care for my own fig tree. And you're going to see a little bit of that come out in the next sermon or two, including this one. But this guy comes to the fig tree 3 straight years and there's no figs, no fruit. And he's impatient with it and says to the man who's tending the vineyard, "Cut the thing down. It's not producing fruit. It's a waste of time." Do you think he's impatient? Wait a minute. Well, he's been 3 years. You know, he's waited 3 years. Is he impatient or is he patient? He waited 3 years before it was cut down. Wouldn't that be enough time, you know, to be patient? "I've been patient. Now I'm not," type thing, right? Well, I got to tell you something about impatience this morning. It's a good quality and it's a bad quality, depending on how it's used. And did you know patience is also a good character quality and fruit, but it can also be a bad quality if it's misused. Each one of us has a level of patience within us, and each one has a level of impatience. They're different things. They're not the opposite of each other. You might say, "Well, I'm patient, but I'm also impatient," and you would be telling the truth because they operate in different ways. Impatience means we have some influence when we're impatient, and we have influence on what's happening, and we can help it along with nudges at the right time. That's the right kind of impatience. Well, it's not moving. Let me nudge it a little bit. Let me help it to keep doing what it's doing. And that is what impatience is for, to insert your assistance into a situation at the right time. Not forcing it, but helping it when it's stuck. Like when a student is working on homework and they can't figure it out, you don't go, "Well, I'll just wait patiently for them to do it." You simply say, "Here, let me help you in this way to help you figure it out." So there's a impatience in that, but it's a patient impatience, if you know what I mean. A good manager is impatient with poor performance results. They don't want to wait around for someone to get better if they're not going to get better. So they're going to have to actively either invest in the person or let them go. Because a good manager knows how to assess, and patience is not the virtue all the time there. But the good manager is also patient with teaching and training. Because someone who doesn't know, you have to teach and train. You can't expect results from someone who doesn't know, and you have to invest time. Right? Makes sense. So there's impatience and patience, depending on what's needed. So it's important for us to know when to be patient and when to be impatient. Can you be both? Do you know how to be both? When this man came seeking fruit for 3 years, he hit his patience-impatience level. That's what I call it. A patience-impatience level. I'm patient until I'm no longer willing to wait. Or I'm impatient when I'm ready for results now. Do you know your patience-impatience level? Where does your patience go to, and how long does that stay, and then your impatience takes over? Some of us have a longer, shall we say, brewing cycle. But at the end of your patience doesn't mean you've become impatient. It means that your patience has had its work, and now it's time to act. They say a church, or the church, and a glacier have one thing for certain that's in common with each other. Change happens very, very slowly. The church is always a little bit behind trends and times and things like that. And even, I don't know if you remember this, but we used to have these things called projection screens, overhead projectors. And the church adopted those when the rest of the world was going to regular projectors with, you know, color video. The church was using those still. Because it's slow to adapt to things. Because they don't want the world to focus or force change on it. But a glacier moves slowly as well. But after the things have moved forward, there's a noticeable change in the environment. Adaptation of new things can take a lot of time. So when we talk about the theme of invest, and I've been talking about that since the beginning of the year, it isn't something you just go, okay, let's go do this, let's go, run. You got to learn how to do it, you got to learn why to do it, what it's all about, and so you know where and what way to do it. So we can't just throw out there, go invest, and you never have an idea of what to invest or how, or when to be patient when you invest, or when to be impatient when you invest. If we look at this text, we're going to see something interesting. And I really, really like the transition through this passage. And I read through it a lot of times when I'm preparing a message. And each time I read it, I see another transition or something that's happening in the story. I didn't see the time before. But if you look very closely in the first sentence, it says, a man had a fig tree planted. He had it planted. He didn't do it himself. So you know he's the kind of guy that bought it and said, okay, go take care of this. He's that kind of guy, right? He's hands off, except when he wants to get the fruit. I'm buying this. You go take care of it. When I come back, I'm going to go get some results from you. That's the kind of guy he seems to be, doesn't it? He's a business kind of fellow. Well, he then complains to the keeper of the vineyard. Listen to this. It's a fig tree. He had it planted in a vineyard. So the man was a grape kind of guy, growing grapes kind of businessman, and he wanted a fig tree planted in his vineyard. Did you know a fig tree and a grapevine are not treated the same? They're different. They grow differently. They have a different life cycle. They have different needs. Did you know that? Do you think the guy who had it planted knew that? Put it in my vineyard and make it work. I think that's the kind of guy he is. He just wanted to force it, you know. In 3 years, I've been coming and nothing. Well, here's the thing. Grapes need acidic soil which holds some moisture after you've watered it. It needs to retain a bit of that moisture. Fig trees don't. Fig trees like organic soil and that drains easily from it, so it's not oversaturated. So in the same place you're growing grapes, you're going to have a different soil for the fig tree. And the keeper of the vineyard knows how to grow grapes. Don't grow figs the same way. He's going to have to learn, isn't he? And how long is it going to take him? Trial and error. What's it going to take, right? Do figs grow in a vineyard? This is the story that we're dealing with. Do figs grow in a vineyard? You say, well, what do you mean? What are you talking about? They grow if they're treated differently than the grapevine. They will. But it takes some work. So why does he want a fig tree in a vineyard where he's getting his profit from grapes? Well, in that culture, figs trees symbolize peace and prosperity. It's a symbol of being calm and wealthy if you own a fig tree. And sitting in the shade, this picture of someone sitting under the shade of their fig tree is the epitome of safety, peace, and well-being. And so that's his vision, you know? And figs, of course. But it's the idea of sitting there, you know, just kind of suave, relax as my grapes grow and I'm eating figs and I got time to just sit here and enjoy my prosperity. That's the kind of vision he's got in his head, right? And he keeps coming so he can have that vision play out, but there's no figs. Can't sit under a barren fig tree and enjoy figs and enjoy your prosperity if you don't have any figs. So that's what he's thinking about. His vision is for his life with the fig tree, sitting under it, and with fruit. A fig. Now, this is neither here nor there, but I was looking at different ways to grow figs. And it showed pictures of figs over there compared to the fig trees I used to grow down in Georgia. Down in Georgia, Mississippi, when I was living there, the fig trees had figs about an inch and a half, 2 inches maybe. The figs are almost the size of a plum over there. Better growing conditions. I had no idea. I thought it was a pomegranate, it was so big. But it's true. Different soils, different tending, different kind of figs are different sizes. I always thought they're just little bitty things that you get in the packs at the store, but they're also large ones. So maybe this guy wanted a big fig. He wanted to show off his fig to the guys that had a little fig. I don't know. But what I'm trying to say is he had this vision of his life and it wasn't working out. And so he was impatient. We get that way. We try things and they don't work. We have this idea, if I do this, well then this will work out just fine and everything will be great, and then it doesn't. Have you tried things that didn't work here in the church too? I've seen a lot of different ministries come and go over the years. Great ideas and poor implementation, or people were impatient or they were too patient. All these different things. And in our life, we try things. Raising kids, we try a lot of different things, seeing which one works. Well, that didn't work. Let's try this. Let's try that. Anything we can, you know, to make things happen the way we hope they will. But when that happens and we meet lack of success, sometimes we call it failure, something that didn't work, do you give up? Are you fearful to try now for whatever reason, something different or new? Maybe you say, well, we can't do that because we don't have enough people. Or we don't have enough time or enough money or resources. Those things come from fear. Where are you willing to acknowledge your fear and your hesitation and still invest in these things regardless? Where are you willing to try again? And what are you seeking? What are you looking for when you're talking about church or your family or your community or the kingdom of God, what are you wanting to see happen, and yet you haven't seen it yet? What would you like? What is your hope and dreams for your community, for your family, for your life, for our church? What do you see that you would say, yes, this is really a good investment and the right things are happening. This is the vision I have. Some people have given up having those because they don't think they'll work. They've become impatient and patiently waiting for nothing.
Hi, this is Ashley T. Lee Podcast. Join me to hear the Bible read line by line and clearly explained. Listen to the Word of God in your car or home or work while it transforms your mind daily. Romans 12:2 says, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect." Knowing the Bible can give you peace and joy in this hectic world. Listen weekly to Ashley T. Lee Podcast on all podcast sites.
What are you wanting to see occur here, but you haven't? Where have you believed, like this landowner, you've wasted resources? Anywhere in life, but where particularly have you said, you know, I've just tried it. Bunch of time wasted, nobody's doing anything. What's the use? Where is it that you feel like it's time to give up? The answer to that lies in your expectations, doesn't it? What expectations do we have? What do we expect when we do this to happen? Like if I invest this, then this should happen. If I plant a fig tree, I should have figs. If I invest in my community, people should, you know, believe in their community more. If I invest in my children, they should love better. If I invest in visiting the community around the church, they should come. Maybe those are our expectations. What are yours? The story that we're dealing with is the same story of the barren fig tree that we deal with here in the church. Do we want to stick around long enough to figure out how things work and learn before results come? Do you expect things to go as you want and then find yourself frustrated if they don't? And yet you don't know how they're actually supposed to work in the first place, but you still want it to happen anyway? Let me tell you a story about figs, all right? It takes 3 to 4 years from a fig tree, from planting to fruit. 3 to 4 years of proper care and maintenance before you can expect fruit. That's the story of a fig tree. It's by nature that way. A grapevine is different. It starts producing much quicker. It has much quicker growth and much more fruit much sooner than a fig tree. So if you're a grape owner, and you're used to these yields every year, and you see a fig tree not producing yield, you don't know how a fig tree works. But you're still trying to make it do what it does. You can't do that. Because if you do that, then you're setting yourself up for false expectations of a fruit that won't come until it's time. You have to be patient for the fruit of a fig tree, impatient for the fruit of the grape. The grape, if it doesn't yield in 2 years, it doesn't work. A fig tree, if it doesn't yield fruit in 2 years, it's not supposed to. The landowner owned a vineyard. And he was taught from grapes how to understand the harvest cycle in agriculture. But grapes won't teach you everything, so he has to learn, doesn't he? And the one who runs the vineyard may know about fig trees, and he may be patiently getting that tree ready over the years, but he knows there won't be fruit yet. It's only been 3 years, and it generally won't do it in the third year, so he knows one more year to produce. So he's preaching patience, and the landowner's going, "I want results." Are you a tender? or an owner in the kingdom of God? Are you focusing on results? Are you focusing on doing the work of fertilization, loving the environment and the soil around what you're trying to grow? Commentators tell us that this fig tree represents Israel. And it's been planted in the vineyard of Jesus Christ. John 15 tells us He is the vine. We are the branches. And Israel has been planted as a fig in a vineyard. Or you could say the vineyard was planted around a fig tree. And the fig tree is slow to yield to the vine or the harvest because it doesn't feel like it's in its proper place. But Jesus is teaching us patience because the results are up to God, not to us. Not to you and me. We're to do the work and let God produce the harvest and the increase. Isn't that what it says? Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. Not us. We do the work. Let God focus on His results. As long as we're doing the work He gives us to do in the right season, His results will come and we can live with that. We can't tell God, this is what the results are supposed to be, and they're not, so you're wrong. We have to learn, don't we? We have to learn how things grow, how things move, how things mature, and trust God with the process of how that happens. There are specific things you do along that way, things you learn, things you understand, why you're doing it, how to do it, and what to do, when to do it, for the proper results to come. Because if you miss a step, it won't grow. It won't yield. We are the branches of the vine. We need to give others a chance to be a part of that vine, to be grafted in, to be a part of the kingdom of God, and not give up on them until God does. Until He gives up, I'm not. His patience, it says, leads to salvation. Our impatience leads to exclusion. So in your life and in the church, where are you willing to invest patience? Where are you willing to act impatiently in the right way? How will you know the difference when it comes to growing your church and your community along with your family? How are you going to know when to be patient and when to be impatient? I have a simple answer to that question. It says, be still and know that He is God. To wait on the Lord and you will renew your strength. So waiting on God is patience. So waiting on God's timing is when to be patient. But the time to be impatient is when God says, go. Well, God, I'm going to pray about it and see if this is really what you want me to do or not. As soon as He shares something with you, He's ready for you to do it. That's the time for impatience. That's the time to act and do things according to the instruction God's given you. But to be ready, it says in the scripture, in season and out of season for every type of situation. Whether it's to wait or to act. If you act impatiently at the time of patience, you're going to frustrate yourself. And if you act patient at the time of impatience, you're going to frustrate yourself because you didn't do it when you should have. When you could have. When the yield was ready. And here's what Jesus said. The fields are white for the harvest. Does He say, go pray for people to plant? No. He says, pray for workers. To be a worker in God's kingdom, that's what He's asking us to do. To be always ready. To invest when God says invest. And to patiently wait for that timing when God says wait. The Holy Spirit will guide you into those proper timings. If you will let your own patience, impatience level go and trust God's. This is the task that this landowner has to learn. It's a task we have to learn, individually and as a church, to learn when to invest now and when to be ready to be investing soon. And God put on my heart for this year that we need to learn how and why to invest, and at the moment that it's time to do so, to be ready. And the task for us now is to learn and to prepare so that God can show us how to invest the right way for His results. I think that is a fantastic and simple way to say it. Don't let yourself get ahead of yourself or ahead of God, because He is the one who knows the perfect timing. I can live with that. I think you can too. And as we go through Lent, starting Wednesday, I ask that you would ask God to show you areas in your life where you can begin to invest, wait, and act. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, help us to be still and know that you are God, that our emotions don't run this world, our impatience doesn't, our patience doesn't. It's you. Help us to be open to the nudge of your Holy Spirit. Sometimes that nudge is a powerful force and not just a simple, gentle thing. But no matter how it comes to us, Lord, that at the moment the nudge comes, it will say, the time for waiting is over. It's time to act. So, Lord, get us ready for those moments, even if the moment is now. For there's always the time to come to you to be redeemed. And there's always the time is now to experience your hope and your peace. And, Lord, I ask that as we ponder these words and this parable, that we would no longer be frustrated, but rather infused by the grace that you've shown us. And I pray this, Heavenly Father, that you would establish your word here to us now. Amen.